About 4 weeks ago, when I last preached here, I asked the question, I'm going to ask it again. Over the last week, maybe you were shopping in Wegmans, maybe you were walking the dog, fixing dinner, taking care of the kids, doing wash. At any time over the last week, were you overcome with Easter joy? Same response I got 4 weeks ago. We're in trouble. Easter is all about joy, and my message series for Easter focuses on joy because the church tells us we're supposed to be overcome with Easter joy. In the preface, and you'll hear it again tonight, it says, "Therefore, overcome with paschal joy," that's Easter joy, "we praise the Lord." So again, if that joy is not there somehow, what's going on? And what is joy? Well, joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And what that means is that if we have joy in our lives, somehow we are connected to the joy of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're a joyful group. They love us. They take joy in us. So when we are in synchronicity with the Holy Trinity, it comes out as joy. So again, where's the joy in our lives? So we're told again and again that joy is something we should be experiencing, and it's not a feeling or an emotion. It's really a response, a choice, given the fact that God died for us, rose from the dead, saved us from the power of sin and death. So joy is there. And all through the readings of Easter, we've been getting hints of why we should be joyful. For example, a couple weeks ago, we were told in the first letter of John that we are the adopted children of God. So think about that. God loves us. We are his children. We've been adopted. Does that give joy to our lives? Are we glad that we are the children of God? Do we say that to other people? You know, I'm a child of God. We even talk about that. I don't know if you've seen on Facebook or maybe television these little videos of a family gathered in a living room, and one of the child is given an envelope, and they open the envelope, and there is a decree of adoption. And I don't think I've seen one where the kid did not break down in tears because he didn't want to be adopted, right? No. He was overjoyed that he was being adopted. And he loved that. And the joy, it came out in tears, but that can be joy too. But there again, children get it. Children get it. You know, at Christmas time, I said, I think it was last week, after all the presents are open, the children will play with their toys a little bit, but it's much more fun playing with the empty boxes, right? Kids have an imagination. And when they do something, they say, "Mom, Dad, look, are we children like that to God the Father? Do we see God the Father as one who enjoys us, takes joy in what we do as his children? Or do we see God as a God who is serious and doesn't have a smile and is always waiting for us to make a mistake?" But that's not God. Just like earthly parents, when a child takes his or her first steps, they're thrilled by it. They're filled with joy. That's what our relationship is supposed to be about with God. And the problem, of course, is not on God's part, it's on our part. Because as we grow older, we get these burdens, we get these fears, things we're not supposed to take on, and they create some kind of a wall between ourselves and the Lord. Now, besides being told that we're supposed to be overcome with paschal joy, we also hear in the preface every Easter Sunday that we are supposed to be exulting in praise of the Lord. All peoples, all nations, exult in your praise. That's what it says. What does exult mean? Well, to exult in God is to be extremely joyful. Not just joyful, but extremely joyful. Are we extremely joyful? And in fact, the word exult, and maybe this is something you can practice, it literally means to leap up. Leap up in joy. So next time you go to Wegmans, think to yourself, ah, I'm joyful. See what people say. But that's a way of practicing it. And of course, every Mass we say, Alleluia. What does that mean? Praise the Lord. You don't praise the Lord if you're not joyful, if you're not grateful. And St. Augustine himself says that because in heaven we're going to be doing a lot of praising of the Lord, we've got to practice it now. We have to practice it. We have to practice exulting. We have to practice praising God. We have to practice being joyful people to show that, yes, we truly believe in God, that He loves us. And like a good father, He wants us to come to Him. And He's not there to slam us, but to help us get back up when we sin. And of course, sin is one of those things that is a burden for us and builds a wall between us and God. But even there, we're told in the readings through Easter that if we sin, we repent of those sins, and God forgives us. So we don't have to carry that burden around, so we're better able to practice joy. So just like getting on a bike, you have to practice it. It's the same with joy. Now, what needs to happen, among other things, in order to really practice that joy well? Well, I already said one, repentance. We got confession, a freebie. We go in with sin, we come out without it. And God, because He's a loving Father, He doesn't remember it. We're told He takes our sins after we've repented and puts them behind Him. So He doesn't remember them, and He doesn't want us to remember them. But what else do we need to have happen? Well, in the scripture today, the gospel, Jesus says He wants us to bear good fruit. So right there's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, joy, among other fruits of the Holy Spirit. And just like a tree or a bush or something that's supposed to be producing fruit, we have to trim it. We have to prune it. What does that mean in our lives? Well, we have to cut away the sin, cut away those areas of temptation that I keep putting myself into, put away the vices, whatever they might be, if it's greed, if it's lust. I mean, those are the things we ask God to help us to prune so that we can better produce good fruit. And God created every single one of us to produce good fruit. None of us can say, well, who am I? Who am I? Scriptures say that we, each of us, is the apple of God's eye. Each of us. Now we say, how can that happen? Well, He's God. We can't do that. But God does it. And He created us as unique human beings. You can't take my place. I can't take your place. So God created us in His mind and in reality to do something that no one else could do. And so we have gifts, we have graces, we have blessings, we have the sacraments, we have prayer, all these wonderful gifts that God gives us so that we can be pruned, so that our ground can be fertilized, so that we can grow healthy, so that we can produce good fruit. And each of us is going to produce a different kind of fruit in a different way. But there again, it's up to us to find out what are the charisms of the Holy Spirit that we've been given. What particular gifts has the Holy Spirit given us that we're supposed to be working on and practicing and then using in the world as a way of bearing good fruit? And Jesus says, not just bear good fruit, but He says much fruit. Much. That means every single one of us can produce a lot of good fruit. But there again, the work, in a sense, is really on our shoulders because God's done all the heavy lifting. He's done everything He could possibly do. It's up to us to keep going back to our faith, what began in baptism, to remember that we are truly children of God. God loves us. He wants to enjoy our successes, and He wants us to enjoy them as well. He expects us to produce good fruit, much fruit. He expects that. And good parents do that, right? We expect our children to do as well as they can. Not better than they can, but at least as well as they can. And so parents help children see what their gifts are and to practice them. Same with us as adults. We're still children of God. We've been given these gifts. Are we practicing them? So whatever is in our way between us and God, between us and Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we can prune that away with God's help. We can do some trimming. We can do some fertilizing so that we can produce the good fruit that God wants us to produce. So again, my Easter message series is all about that joy. I know I want it. I can't say that I always have a sense of it. But again, God says, don't think of it as a sort of a happiness that comes and goes, but rather a deep down conviction that you are of value in God's eye. You are a child of God. You are unique. You have been created to do great things, produce much fruit for the world. And not just so that we can say, yeah, Lord, you really love me, but also so that we can take that fruit out into the world and feed other people, people who are starving to death because they don't know about the God that we worship. They don't know about this God who suffered, died, and rose from the dead. They don't know about this God who gave us his very flesh and blood as food for the journey, who gives us the sacraments so that we can be physically and spiritually and emotionally healthy so that we can do the work of disciples. So again, Jesus says, I want you to bear fruit, much fruit, and to become my disciples. So as always, that's our goal. So as you go forth today, and again, you can pull down the worksheet that I have on my website, what might you do to practice joy? What do you need to do some pruning? What are the things in your life, the actions, the failures perhaps, that need to be pruned so that we can get rid of all that burden and better let the joy of God come into our lives so that we can share that with others? So all of us are called to be healthy plants and produce much fruit for ourselves so that we can enjoy it, but also so that the world will see that joy and want it too. And then that's where we come in and say to them, I know where you can find it. Let me tell you about Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. That's Easter joy coming out when we have the courage and the desire to do that for our brothers and sisters, to take the joy that we've been given and share it with them so that they too can bear much fruit.